nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hey, yo, good morning, yo. This is the mad rapper, son, for real. I'm mad, and I stay mad. I stay angry. I stay heated. I stay pissed off. Tell him why you mad. Breakfast Club, let's go.
Hey, tell him why you mad.
My hours got cut back at work. I'm a welder in Dayton, Ohio. Slow mad. We went from about 56 hours a week down to 38 to 40.
Can you do some freelance work for people who might need welders outside of where you work?
No, it's like a shop. Like, we make air brake tanks for semis.
Words. So how do we help you get your hours up, sir?
All right, thanks, guys.
Never mind, then. I'm trying to help the brother out.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, my name is Jay.
Tell him why you mad.
Man, I'm mad because Walmart ain't got the bread I want to give my little girl for Valentine's Day. They tell me, give her a pink unicorn.
A pink unicorn?
Wait, what?
A pink unicorn. I want to give her a little one of them life-size bears.
Mm-hmm.
They said, give her a pink unicorn. I'm like, no, man, y'all, I want to give my little girl a bear. She's my world.
Okay.
Hey, girls do like unicorns, though, bro.
Hey, my little girl don't like no unicorns. She like money.
Well, give her some money.
Hello, who's this?
Well, I'm mad because I bought an iPhone, had it 2 days and dropped it. Then I bought another one, and the week later I dropped it. Now I stopped being cheap and went and bought the AutoBox. And I broke it again. Tell me how does that happen?
Well, I'm glad you don't play football because you'd lead the league in fumbles.
Yeah, you just mad careless, bro. Hello, who's this?
Hey, man, how you doing? This is Steve from Miami Beach.
What's up,
305,
Steve?
What's happening?
Why you mad, bro?
My ex-girlfriend, she's pregnant or whatnot. And I haven't talked to her since September. And she's the daughter of a pastor. And
okay, what's that got to do with anything? Daughters of a pastor's got poom pooms too.
Sure, I understand that, but I live in Florida and she lives in California.
What are you talking about, sir? Your girl's clearly not your girl no more.
I understand that.
She's thinking about somebody else. She's not thinking about you. She's thinking about her family, her child, and her future baby daddy.
And that's me.
Oh.
No, it's not.
Oh. Let her know.
Not, sir.
All right, bro. Well, good luck with your girl. That's not your girl, man.
This guy is delusional.
He's so crazy. Yo, leave her alone, man. Doesn't make sense now.
I'm falling.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. You know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell him why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo, Steph, yo.
Steph, tell him why you mad, bro.
Yo, all right, so basically, like, you know how J. Cole... Azzo all got, you know, they credit for, like, you know, the albums and stuff, like, how the album sales is cracked and stuff. But like, I'm just mad at my son, like, Haji B's, like, he had a nice, dope album, and nobody listened to it, nobody talked about it, and it's really dope, like,
wait,
I don't
Haji,
know. Like,
Haji put out an album last year?
Yeah. It's called
I had
the
no
Fire
idea.
Book. Yeah.
Well, thank
really,
you for
really
thank
nice.
You for letting us and all of our listeners know.
Absolutely. Hello, who's this?
My name is Terry Bratchett. I'm from Dayton, Ohio.
Tell him why you mad, bro.
I'm mad because I've been fighting this case for a year with the Dayton police. They're framing me, and I have all of the evidence to prove it. I can't get no help from the Department of Justice,
damn,
the Human Council Relations, or News Channel 7.
Can you afford a lawyer?
I got a lawyer. He's working for the state.
Okay, so do you want attention or you want to get your case dropped?
I want my case dropped because, I mean, I have all the evidence. I got video evidence of them saying... You know, they know who the drugs belong to. And I got forged signatures from one of the detectives that forged the judge's signatures. And I still can't get no help from nowhere.
Oh, okay.
So he wants to get attention so in order to...
Get his case dropped.
Yeah, to get his case dropped.
Right, because I can't get help nowhere. And I got all the evidence to prove my innocence. And I've been fighting this case for almost a year.
All right, this is what you do. I'm going to help you out here. Write a Facebook post about it and then tweet it to me and I'll retweet it for you.
There you go.
Okay, I ain't even on Facebook. I don't need to do internet.
I thought lawyers were what makes you guilty or innocent.
But you got a state-appointed lawyer.
Yeah, that doesn't
sound really good.
Oh, you got a public defender? You ain't got no lawyer?
I got a paid lawyer. I got a paid lawyer. He working for the state because they all buddies.
Yeah, sometimes they try to make you take a plea because they don't even feel like going to trial or something.
Well, you're paying the wrong lawyer, buddy. You got to pay the lawyer that's giving the judge oral sex when ain't nobody looking.
Hey, that's against the law. Hello, who's this?
iPhone Sim, Envy, what's poppin'?
iPhone Sim, what's up, bro?
Yo, I'm mad because I missed Charlamagne's birthday last night. That's after the city, right?
You met what?
I missed your birthday party last night. It was at Sim City last night, right?
I ain't have no damn birthday party last night. My birthday's in June. My birthday June 29th.
I'm listening to the wrong birthday club. I've been in breakfast club.
Oh, you know what? No, it's a DJ at Sin City named Charlamagne. Remember the producer?
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay.
That's
fake ass man.
What?
There's another Charlamagne. That's true.
Yeah, that's another Charlamagne. You had the wrong one.
That's a fake ass Charlamagne.
No, he's been around him for a long time.
Nah, it's just one Charlamagne, the guy, one DJ Charlamagne. All right, bro.
Okay.
All right, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Oh, Becky with the good hair.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Barack Obama gave his farewell speech. Very sad, very touching. Let's play a clip, a quick audio of the speech.
Michelle LaVon Robinson, girl of the South Side. For the past 25 years, you have not only been my wife and mother of my children, you have been my best friend. You took on a role you didn't ask for, and you made it your own with grace and with grit and with style and good humor.
So we're asking 800-585-1051, how did Barack Obama's presidency inspire you? Now, I tell you mine. I got two young black boys, so the fact that they can grow up and see a black president and really believe that they can possibly become president means the world to me. What about you, Yee?
I think health-wise, President Barack Obama, that's probably one way that I was inspired the most. Just even seeing his wife go out and do this whole campaign on fighting obesity and being healthier and making sure that everybody has health care. I know that was a big deal for him, and I agree with that also. So that's part of what inspired me to even get involved with opening the juice bar.
What about you, Charlie?
For me, man, I think it would be the title of Barack Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. You know, the greatest thing Barack Obama did was provide hope. And if you don't think hope is important, ask yourself why you don't have any right now, okay? He was a great symbol that things have gotten a lot better in America because a black man is president. You know, we know this is a country that was built on, you know, systemic racism and institutionalized depression. So the fact that a black man, you know, became president, it provided a lot of hope. And also just as a man. Because even if you don't like Barack Obama's politics, even if you feel like he didn't do anything for you, he didn't do anything for black people, whatever, just as a man, you have to admit he's one of the most decent men walking the face of the earth. Because if they had something on Barack Obama that they could smear his name and slander him, they would have used it by now. The fact he never had no side children, no side women, you never heard about him saying anything derogatory about anyone. Just the fact of him being such a decent man, he provided a lot of inspiration.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. Has Barack Obama inspired you at all?
He did. He inspired more of my son than me because I have a black son, of course, and I never thought growing up, I'm half white, half black. So I never thought growing up that it would be a black president.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So for me to see this and for my son to see it, and he's 16 years old, it's amazing. Only thing that was hard for me was to explain to him why Donald Trump was president.
Right. Y'all are really kind of misconstruing this thing here, bro.
What you mean?
Barack Obama got a lot of education. Like, Barack Obama went to Harvard. Like, Barack Obama, it took him a lot to build that foundation to be president.
Course. But
Donald Trump has nothing.
But as a kid, did you ever think you would see a black president?
No, I didn't think I would see one. But to say you think you can be one is different. It takes a lot of work to be the first black president.
But it can be done. And that shows, if you're a young black boy, that you can work for it.
Yeah, it can be done with a lot of hard work. But Donald Trump is a better case of optimism.
But Donald Trump has a lot of bread. They say he's worth $1 billion.
He didn't become president because he had a lot of bread. Hillary Clinton raised more money in her campaign than Donald Trump did.
But he became popular because he has a lot of bread.
No.
Yes, he did.
Not for presidency.
No, well, I think there's a lot of reasons why.
The reason why he's so big is because he's a millionaire and billionaire.
If that was the case, what was the billionaire that ran for president at that time? Ross Perot, he'd have been president. It's not about money. It's not about money.
Hello, who's this?
This is MOTEP from Naptown.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Man, I just want to say, first off, you know, Obama, he's a black and white president. We don't get a white side credit. You know, that's the DNA don't lie. You know what I mean? But he's a melanated brother, so, you know, we still don't call him black. But I'm going to say, what's inspiring about him was the fact that he had a black woman and black little children in that White House. That was a good look to see psychologically for kids out here. A strong black family in a good position.
Absolutely. 800-585-1051. We're asking, has Barack Obama's presidency inspired you? Call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. They're taking your calls right now, 800-585-1051. We're asking, Barack Obama's, his presidency, has it inspired you?
Now, a lot of people are commenting on Twitter and Instagram, and King Kwame said, it made me stay in the Army. I can tell my grandkids I served under a black president. Thank you, President Obama.
All right. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Tiana from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, Tiana. Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Pretty good. Now we're talking Barack Obama. Has his presidency inspired you, Mama?
Oh, yes. Not only me, but actually my 10-year-old daughter, which inspires me because now she wants to go to Harvard and become
great.
Maybe the first black woman president. So
my daughter,
we're both
too.
Inspired. Yeah.
That is true. My daughter, too. And the fact I took my daughter to Harvard Business School when I spoke there. She was really inspired by that. And the fact Barack's daughter is going to Harvard. She talks about Harvard all the time.
Wow. Hello, who's this?
Hello, my name is Wardell from Detroit.
Hey, what's up, bro? We're talking Barack Obama. Did his presidency inspire you?
Yeah, he inspired me. He just did an overall good job, just a positive face for the whole country. He did a good job, you know. He came to work, and he showed up, and he did the best he could.
He ain't never got no fellatio in the Oval Office.
Exactly.
Well, maybe by his wife.
Yeah, his wife.
And then Envy, one more thing. Envy,
you're
not black, man. You Hispanic. You got to represent for the Latinos.
Yeah, you represent.
I think it's so disgusting Envy doesn't represent for the Latin community.
I know. He keeps saying he's black. I know his kids got to be confused when they fill out that paperwork.
I totally agree with you. None of his kids can salsa. None of them know how to merengue.
You don't know that.
It's merengue.
Whatever.
And they know how to do both of that. And I am black.
Your kids don't even like empanadas. And they Spanish.
They love empanadas. They know how to merengue. And they know how to salsa. And
do your kids wear white jeans after Labor Day?
No.
Oh, they might not be Latino then.
Hello, who's this?
You know who this is, boy.
What's up?
Now, I'm going to tell you something. The most inspiring thing about President Barack Obama, I'm going to pay him his respect and call him president because he still is. The most inspiring thing is the fact that he had the most perfect set of waves and has never been seen out and about with a do-rag.
Oh, wow.
That's inspiring. I've seen you coons out and about, do-rags
right,
just flapping in the wind, but never seen that with President Obama. 8 years in office, perfect waves, and never been seen with a do-rag on. Mm-hmm. What Nicki Minaj say back in the day? Waves don't swim, so they hate on him.
What?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, who's this?
Mike.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Did Barack Obama inspire you?
He really did. You know, as being a young black boy, I'm a senior in high school trying to make goals in life. He's a everyday reminder saying to always keep pushing hard and whatever they say you can't do, you can do. Because, you know, they don't like to see us succeed sometimes, but we got to fight and do whatever they do 10 times better than they do it. I'm always going to remember that.
And by the way, I need you grown men to stop referring to yourselves as black boys. You're a young black man, sir.
Right. Hello, who's this?
It's John from Charleston.
Hey, John.
843, what's happening?
Did his presidency inspire you, bro?
Yeah, it inspired me, man, telling us that we ain't really ain't got no ceilings, seeing that you are Spanish descent, Charlemagne Black, you know.
I'm black, you bastard.
You are not. Why? What's wrong with you? Rep your hood, Envy.
Boy,
I'm black.
Boy.
Well, let's not get off track. Go ahead.
Okay, my bad, man. I thought you were Spanish.
He is Spanish, sir. He's just in denial for whatever
reason.
I'm black,
man. Go ahead.
Oh, man, that threw me off the deal. I'm sorry about that, man.
Envy and reasons.
But, you know, we ain't got no ceilings in for the stars, man. I feel like I could do anything right now, you know. But especially when Donald Trump be president, man, I feel like I really could do anything, you know, with charges and everything. So I feel like anything possible.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Donald Trump is the greatest case of optimism for anybody in America. If Donald Trump can become the president of the United States, I can do anything. Okay?
We're not talking about Donald Trump.
Barack is a special human being.
All right.
Period. They don't make him like Barack.
What's the moral of the story?
I mean, the moral of the story is hope. You know, sometimes that's all you have when you have nothing else. If you have it, you have everything. And, I mean, that's one thing that Barack Obama provided for us. The most inspiring thing that I got from his speech was accountability. That should be your word for 2017, accountability. Because we must be the change we want to see in the world, and we have to be accountable for ourselves and our own success and happiness. Contrary to popular belief, can't nobody do that for you.
Morning, everybody. Shorty is DJ Envy Angela.
Now, hold on. Slow down. Okay, I think that I should introduce this part.
Right, we ain't even introduced the first part.
Let me get into it. Good morning, everybody. All right, it's Angela Yee. That's DJ Envy over there. That's Charlamagne there. It's insignificant, though, right now, because we have Vivica A. Fox in the building.
Madam Vivica.
She don't care about you this morning.
Alongside, shut up for a second.
All right.
Alongside Penetration and Heat.
Yes, from Vivica's Black Magic.
Madam Vivica is here with her hoes, baby.
Penetration.
Yes. Yes, we heard how much you liked our name, the names that the boys was coming out.
When he introduced himself, he was like, this is Penetration. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it's going to be like that.
Familiar.
It's going to be like that.
You call him Young Pino.
Yeah. But I'm glad, Vivica, I just want to say that you're doing this because I did see Chocolate City.
Yes.
So I know that was the idea for Vivica's Black Magic came from
Chocolate
City.
Yeah, this was my brainchild. When I was working with the director, Jean-Claude Lemaire, I was like, yo, You got a gold mine here. We could do a reality show. We could do a tour. Because right about now, strippers win. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to make it rain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, I wanted to do something for the girls. Our main goal was to create the ultimate girls' night out. That every Wednesday that they can trust that, you know, we got so much craziness going on in the world for them to come and get with us, have a good time, have some drinks, and the gentlemen will reap the benefits.
Well, you say strippers are women. It's women strippers, though, like male strippers.
Yeah, that's
no,
a thing.
No. The there's two called strippers, too. No, what?
Male strippers got a stigma,
did y'all not
though.
See my show? What's the stigma?
That they're gay.
Oh, stop
now,
it.
Now, I'm going to keep it real.
Stop that.
Absolutely.
Not that, I'm going to tell you the truth. That,
not
they
true.
Say that
you ain't
because
seen the boys on my show.
No, I haven't.
No.
That's a misconception because I'm...
Tune in. You shall see.
I'm going to tell you this. That's because men don't want their women to go to these male review shows.
Exactly.
So they put... Y'all put that rumor
say
out
that.
There.
Say
right.
that.
That's what it is because I've hosted male review shows before. And I'm going to tell you, the first time I did it, I had some of my friends with me. Melissa Ford was with me, too.
Yeah.
And I had to host a male review show. And my friends were very like, oh, I don't want nobody to touch me. By the time we got in there and they had some drinks,
right.
One of my friends had a penis thumped on her head.
See?
Yeah.
And they had a great
time. We don't get that graphic. But.
My friends were in the middle of the stage going crazy because I'm not going to lie, at the Mill Review shows, these guys have a lot of talent.
Yeah. Penetration, how'd you get your name?
Say that again. What's that question?
Young Pino, how'd you get your name?
Penetration.
Man, my ex-girlfriend gave me that name, to be honest. We had a few sessions that night, you know, and she was like, you know, I got a perfect name for you. And I was like, what's that? And that was the end. You know,
yeah, Penetration.
You ever for Game Engine?
Oh,
hell no.
Nah, bro, sorry.
Right, see? Back all that
money
out,
is
right.
money, though.
No,
nah, strip not club, that kind of money.
In the strip club, females go to the strip club and females dance on females.
Well, now I'm going to tell you, I've been to Magic City in Atlanta. When I started doing the show, I went there because guess what? The strip clubs in Atlanta have turned into the clubs
Absolutely.
In Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's what.
It's like that in New York,
everybody going there and just having a good time. It used to be so taboo to say, oh my gosh, I'm going to a strip club. Now everybody's like, what's happening? Where are you going? They in there having a good time. The music is real good. And that's what I like. You know, I don't try to be a hater. I try to be a congratulator. If that's what's working. And also for my sisters, I got tired of you go to Vegas, you only got Thunder from Down Under or Chippendales with that one brother over in the corner. And I was like, oh, really? Even Magic Mike?
You did your homework. You went to all
yes,
of
Yes, I did. I got, you know.
Research
you know, I had
purposes.
To be educated.
Research.
I had to be educated about
let's
it. You know.
Let's not leave it in the air, though. Why wouldn't they dance for gay men?
Because there's no need to. They dance for women.
Okay.
But what happens?
It's called the ultimate girls' night out for a reason.
Got you.
Okay. But what happens if men just happen to? There's a couple. That
we
happens?
Have a couple of guys that come there. You know. I mean, but you know,
it's
you
a
say,
great
it's not
place.
That
it's
kind
not,
of penetration.
Yeah.
Slow down.
It's a great place for guys to meet women though, because you go to a male review show, the women in there are feeling good. It's all women.
Yes.
So if you happen to be a guy in the audience, I think the best thing to do is have a male review show and then have a party after.
Exactly. Yeah,
there's a lot of big women too that come.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. I mean, you know,
we get we love too. Too. Yeah. Exactly.
We love them all.
So let's talk about some of the things you guys have to do to prep to perform because I know you have to like make sure that
she
you
wants
stay.
To know how y'all get a chub before y'all hit
you
the
you have
stage.
To stay erect, and I heard you have to like tie a yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't do that though. I can't dance like that. I dance too hard to be dancing with blood and you know in my thing. You know I gotta.
In my thing.
I tried it once and I almost passed out.
You're talking about a penis ring.
Yeah, don't you say it could fall off because you know if you tie it around it every night.
Like, I'm telling you, I don't do it. I don't play with my thing. I need my thing to work right. When I
know
home.
That's right.
But you do it, Heat.
I mean, sometimes.
Because how you say hard,
show them what you're working with.
It actually depends how long the show is, because like if the show is more than 15 minutes,
you're in trouble.
If that's on you, it's all we gonna be. Yo, turn it blue.
You don't want to get gangrene.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you know a couple days ago was Angela Yee's birthday, so she really would like a dance before you guys leave.
It was actually
Angela Yee's birthday.
Look, that's what I'm here.
Of course.
So it's good to see a woman taking charge and saying, you know what, let's pimp some of these men too.
Well, not pimping, but you know. But, you know, that's the beauty of the show is being the head chick in charge. Mm-hmm. And then you get to see, I have a showrunner and show producer that's also females, Eureka and Kiana. And what we did is that we had a nationwide search. Guys from all over America auditioned for the show. Mm-hmm. And we picked an Elite Eight. And what it is our journey of getting a residency in Las Vegas. Because when we did go to Las Vegas, we met Billy Cross from Thunder from Down Under. They've been on the Las Vegas Strip for close to 20 years. Mm-hmm. They are booked internationally and domestically year-round.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, they
need that.
Paid.
That's where women go for their bachelorette parties.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's what I thought for the sisters, that, you know, we need bachelorette parties, divorce parties, just because it's Wednesday parties.
Right.
You know, just cause.
All right, keep it locked. We got more with Vivica A. Fox coming up, and we might try to give Yee another lap dance. You know her birthday was the other day. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, is DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Vivica A. Fox in the building. Charlamagne?
You call him male exotic dancer. Man,
yes, I do. I mean, I just, out of respect. I mean, I just didn't want to be like, yeah, stripper number one, two. You know, like, they've become my family.
But do women spend money like men in the strip club?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We have a change machine that when they come in, that they're waiting to come in. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you.
You have to check out every stripper that comes. Like, you got to say naked and check them out.
You have to watch the show.
The only thing I ask them to do is definitely manscape. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. But, you know, they like it to be smooth.
But so what if it's a guy named Bushman?
It stay on their body. So,
shout out to Bushman in Detroit.
But, you know, and my guys, we make sure that they're in great shape. Yeah. They work out, which is good. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, for all the guys, like, let your ladies watch the show, because trust me, you're going to reap the benefits after the show.
Is there a lot of diversity in the male exotic dance industry? Because for me, it seemed like I always noticed the white.
Yeah, well, that's all that's been put out there for Chippendales and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's why, you know, when the show came out, we came out on Wednesday night. We were trending, and everyone's like, thank you. Right. Something for us.
Something we could look at.
Yeah. So.
And it's hard to find a male review show. Like, even here, it's like a not very frequent thing. It's like a special occasion.
It's usually in a hall.
So basically, you want some random hall in the middle of nowhere.
So basically, you want their business card before you leave, is what you're saying.
And then also,
I know a lot of male exotic dancers.
See, I got that
right there. Right here, bam, there you go. But we're grateful to Lifetime. They gave us 8 episodes.
Wow.
It was the first pitch that I went out there with Propagate, Howard Owens. They literally bought 8 episodes. It was the first pitch that I did, and that's rare. I've been in Hollywood for years, and when you pitch shows, it's rare that they buy it just that quick. And a year later, here we are on the air.
That's a personal question. Do you still get, this is going to be sounding crazy, do you still get horny seeing men now, because you see it all the time?
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm in a strip club so much, it's not new to me.
Envy has to say that.
Some of the tricks that these girls do nowadays don't turn you
on.
I'm a very straight woman, strictly dickly over here, but I even went to the strip club and them girls were doing tricks. I was like, wow. I mean, really?
Yes.
So maybe you need to start going to see some male strippers. Maybe you're burnt out on the women. That's what it sounds
change
like.
Change your job.
But to keep it real, y'all can learn a lot from these guys.
I just think the different ways that the girls are learning to do their routines, like, none of it impresses you.
But what can a guy do? He's not. There's no pole.
You know, show him one time.
No, no, no. these
there's
guys.
There's no poles, though, right? There's no poles in the strip club.
No. But they're very
athletic. There's a lot of poles in the male strip club. I don't know if you want to slide down it, though.
If you can see how they can take a girl and put her on one hand and spin her around.
Let's see. Yeah, go ahead.
It's very impressive. No, dang, don't do her like that.
Come on,
Pino. She got a private dance.
No, but you're right. I've been in the strip club. I've seen them. They pick women up. They flip them around. They do all kind of tricks. They have great.
They got tricks, too,
with fire.
Yeah.
Show them a trick, Pino. Come on. Show yourself one time.
Oh my God! Whoa.
You
ready, girl? Get your money ready. Oh, Single.
Dollars
only. Okay. Come on, Pino. Give him some room.
Don't
let me start your day off right.
That's right.
Okay. Right. There you go. Make sure you got some room. And come on.
He's sitting down.
Hold on.
He's lifting. Wait.
His coin ain't too strong.
His crack is in
her
face.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's too small.
Y'all need some
Now, hey, now don't you deny texting Pino later on.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Girl, we started your morning off right.
Penetration was all in.
I was in the male review show with Emmy and Charlamagne.
Thank you for being a willing participant.
But it's not that easy. No, not to say that I tried, but I tried once. I tried to do the belly roll one time for my wife.
Show him how you did.
Come on, Envy. Show me what you're working with. Oh, he blushing. All right, I love it. That's all right. When we come back next time, you're going to have a routine ready for me, right?
You got it.
All right.
Do you guys have any piercings?
Okay, yeah.
Just one in my ear. That's about it.
No, I know one of my friends who's a military dancer, he had a piercing on his penis, and it got ripped out during one of his performances.
I used to have a belly ring, and I did a movie, and it got ripped out. And it got ripped out, and I was like, okay, that's the end of the piercing.
Yeeks, all right. Well, keep it locked. We got more with Vivica A. Fox. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I was good on my own. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Vivica A. Fox is still in the building with us. Charlamagne?
You know what I want to ask you, Vivica? Sure, you know, with the current landscape of TV, like with Black-ish and Atlanta and Insecure and Empire, they say they feel like the 90s is back. As someone who went through that era, do you feel that way?
Yes,
too?
I do.
Wow.
You know, it's been a long time coming for us to feel like, wow, when you turn on the TV, you see good quality products. Do you know what I mean? Especially for women with Scandal, Empire, How to Get Away with Murder, Shonda Rhimes, all of her shows. It's been a long time coming because it seemed like for a minute they kind of forgot about us.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like what happened in politics, how they felt like, y'all forgot about us. Well, now we're going to go crazy and go almighty whitey. But that's all right. But now we're back on TV and things are good.
Why do you think it was a lapse, though? Because it seemed like the 90s was popping.
Well, reality happened, to be honest with you.
Reality TV.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, reality TV definitely changed a lot for actors and actresses because, you know, they could pay people to show up $1,500 and do anything, if that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that took over. And then you got your reality stars, Instagram, social media, all that. It was a different time for that. Mm-hmm. Now that's kind of like fading away, and now actors are coming back, that people finally got hip to the fact that, oh, that's scripted in a way too. It's not, you know what I mean? Because it's a storyline, and they give people storylines when they act it out now. So I think now they really want to see actors do their thing.
So because of you, I will always hate Officer Scrooge and Detective Waller, okay? Set it off.
Come on.
Detective Waller shot you in the back. And you was trying to run for the bus.
She was like, huh?
What do you mean?
Wait a minute. I was so... Because you know what this right here. I was like,
what's
going
to happen? She's like, you're like, where am I going to take this?
Right, where we going? Let me think. But you're right. Yeah. Set it off. Yeah.
I'm watching that over the holidays.
Can you believe? It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. How come we never did another one?
Because we got killed, honey.
Everybody died, you idiot.
No, but there was Stoney. One made it. She was
Stoney's the only
away,
one.
But they should have did a part two.
I think it was a classic. I commend F. Gary Gray that he, because, you know, right now they're making remakes of every damn thing.
Right.
And I just commend F. Gary Gray that he was like, you know what? Nah. they did it.
They didn't think it was going to be that
Well, we had no idea that it was going to be that huge. Mm-hmm. And it, like you said, it plays all the time, and people just absolutely love it.
So, I remember Siskel and Ebert.
Thank you. We appreciate the support.
Siskel and Ebert said it got snubbed. It should have got an Oscar now. Back in the day.
We did our thing. But once again, I commend the director, F. Gary Gray, because when we originally got the script, the characters were almost kind of laughable. It was all the stereotypes of African-Americans. So every day that we would come to rehearsals, F. Gary Gray, we were just tossing out pages. He's like, we have got to explain why you guys' backs are against the wall. Why did you all decide? Right. If there's no motivation for the journey, then we're not going to believe it.
Right.
And we did all the shooting, running. I mean, we filmed for 6 weeks at night. And those girls will always have a special place in my heart.
Did y'all know it was going to be a classic when y'all recorded it?
We had a good feeling about it because we was putting it down. Mm-hmm. Like, Queen Latifah was like, dang, I don't never cry like this. And, you know, we just had scenes that were gut-wrenching. And it was great that Latifah and Jada and us, that we all knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we was like, we're going to make this work. And Latifah was doing Living Single, an album, at the same time. I mean, like, some days she would be in the makeup chair just sleep, but she never showed up with an ego, no drama. It was like we all wanted it to be good.
Now her Curb Your Enthusiasm's coming back too.
LD.
So does that
I don't
mean...
know if the blacks are coming back. Okay. We shall see.
She didn't, by the way, that's the characters.
We don't know if the blacks are coming back. But, you know, another show that took my career to another level, because when I did the show, he wanted to make sure that we stripped away Vivica Fox. He was like, yo, I want you to come in. I don't want no glamour. I want you to be just raw. I want people to know that you can just really be funny. Mm-hmm. And when you came in, they just gave you like a little synopsis and you kind of came up with your own script.
That was dope. We seen you on Wendy. And I'm glad you squashed your beefs and everything and that
Needed
you have
to.
No more problems. That's good for the new year.
Needed to.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good thing. Because it was real petty. The memes were funny, but I'm just
the
glad
memes were funny as hell.
Hilarious.
I know. And it's crazy because... that one there, like I said, I always have love for him, and I hated that it had to go left, but, you know, the thing for me is that, you know, when he was attacking my Empire family, you know, y'all know me, I'm always real.
I see.
And I had to stand up for my family.
How many fights do you get into? Because you look like you will punch up to the face immediately.
I won't anymore because I get sued.
Okay.
But back in the day, though, you know, the pretty girl, they try to think you weak, but, yeah, it was time to squash that.
Were you
had
ever,
to be grown-ups.
Were you ever upset at 50 that he put it out there that you butt?
Oh, thank you, Charlamagne. I knew that was coming.
Jeez, wait.
Knew that was coming sometime.
I do that.
He does.
What do you do? Do you put chocolate, honey?
No, straight regular. Fresh out the shower.
No.
Well, you don't need no seasoning.
There was no ass eating that went on. That was a story that he came up with. I think it wasn't true.
Oh.
It's interesting that anybody could say anything and people believe it's true, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't nothing crazy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not that crazy, but...
It is what it is.
He would have been a good male exotic dancer, I always felt like.
In his heyday, absolutely.
In his heyday.
Yeah, when he first came out, he definitely had body by Jay.
I always tell women, though, when you eat a man's ass, try to put a little knuckle in it, because when he try to use it against you, that you his ass, you could always say, but you won't talk about that knuckle.
All right, we'll Vivica's Black Magic, Lifetime, 10 o'clock. We thank you for coming.
You are so welcome.
And
okay.
We found out she does not eat ass, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
And thank you.
And now we all going to watch Black Magic.
Put that to rest and put that wear back there, y'all. We moving on, 2017. Let's go have some fun.
And now we're all going to watch Vivica's Black Magic together.
You can say it anywhere but back there.
Oh, did that come out wrong?
Yeah, it came out wrong.
Well, no, that was something that I always said on Wendy Williams.
Yeah, put that wear back there.
But just don't eat it.
I'm glad we all had this male review show together.
Because they'll make memes out of your ass. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
All right. It's all the right. Breakfast Club. It's Penetration. It's Heat. And Vivica Fox.
I appreciate the love, y'all. Have a blessed 2017. We appreciate the love, y'all. All right.
Don't play with it. Don't be the silence. Hey.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right, well, we're taking your calls right now on some things that Vivica Fox said. We asked her if her stripper, she has a new show coming on. What's the name of her show, Yee?
Black Magic, Vivica's Black Magic.
Well, she has these strippers. It's like the ultimate female's night out, right? And we asked her if her strippers would dance for men, gay men. And she said, hell no. And people got upset about this. And what happened because of that, Yee?
Now her partner, executive producer, has cut ties with her, but he's still executive producer on the show.
So we're asking 800-585-1051, are people being too sensitive, right?
I don't think people are being too sensitive. I think that you can't tell people how to react. If people want to react to her and they're upset at her, they have that right to be upset.
All right. Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany. You heard what Vivica Fox said. What do you think?
I think that she's not wrong. I think they're trying to push this gay agenda thing too far. If you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it. I teach my children marriage is between a man and a woman. If you bring home anything else, it's not acceptable.
What? That's what you say to your kids?
Yes.
That sounds crazy. So if your son, if your son or your daughter is gay, you know they won't tell you. They'll keep it from you. They'll probably hate you and resent you.
Yeah, and you kind of
they'll probably tell their father and stuff because my husband is more. But we teach them, you know, we show them a marriage is between a man and a woman. If you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it. I feel like they're forcing it on people who to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with you raising your kids that way. If that's the way you feel like you need to raise your kids, the problem is everybody minding each other's business for no damn reason.
What you mean?
No.
I don't know about raising your kid. You raising your kid, telling about if a man likes a man is unacceptable?
If I'm a parent, I can teach my kid anything I want to. That's not illegal.
That doesn't make it right. The only problem is you don't want your kids to look at other people and judge them based on their lifestyle choices. And you don't want your kids to come to you and say, hey, and not want to come to you if there's something wrong. A lot of people repress their feelings because they're scared to talk to their parents.
Once again, this boils down to a matter of choice. I have the choice to say what I want, and people have the choice to react how they want. That lady has the power to, she has the choice to teach her kids whatever she wants to teach them. It's not illegal.
Hello, who's this?
This is Kaisa from Polk County, Florida.
Hey, Kaisa. We're talking some comments that
Vivica
Fox
said. Shout out Polk County. Shout out my girl, Seventh Streeter.
Right. My views on the whole thing, I'm a black lesbian myself, so, you know, just coming from the gay community, I feel like, you know, what she said wasn't wrong, but, you know, in the tone she said it might have been, but if she says they're not dancing for gay guys, they're not dancing for gay guys, and she meant that.
Okay.
So you're not offended?
No, I'm not at all.
Yeah, okay. But you're not a gay person in position of power. that can stop her show or quit working
and
with
that's
her.
The thing, the people in power want to take, they sensitive. Too sensitive.
Maybe they not.
Well, she's a gay lesbian.
Yeah,
she's a lesbian.
So she's allowed to have her opinion.
Lesbian.
Like
no,
we
she's not.
She's a lesbian.
So lesbians are a monolith now. Lesbians don't all think differently. What are y'all saying?
No, we're saying that she has an opinion.
That's her opinion.
That's what people are calling it.
Yeah, right. My opinion.
But one of the gay dudes that works on the show.
We don't know if he's gay.
Why do you keep calling him a gay dude?
I said one of the gay dudes that works on the show, who may be an EP on the show, who may be in control of the show. They may not feel like working with Vivica no more. That's fine. You never know who you're going to offend when you say certain things.
Well, is that the moral of the story?
I thought we were just asking for people's opinions.
The moral of the story is you just don't know how people are going to react to things, period.
Right.
That's it.
And that's fine. She just gave her reaction.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed blessing.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw.
Okay. Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years that Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day goes to young Kodak Black. I have no problems with the young man Kodak Black, but Donkey of the Day does not discriminate. And this is a teachable moment, okay? If you don't know who Kodak Black is, he's a young Haitian rapper from Florida. Sock passe to all my Haitians out there.
La boule!
You hear that? Our boy Dop Emezi is Haitian. Envy Spanish.
I'm not Spanish.
But you can never scream out sock passe and not get a maboule back, okay? The same way you can never say raindrop.
Drop top.
Exactly. Okay, now Kodak Black is popping out here in these streets. He just got out of jail recently, and he picked up right where he left off. Kodak Black is out here saying he's the best rapper alive, and I have no problem with that. If you rap, you should feel like that. In fact, forget rap. Whatever you do, you should feel like you're the best at it. If you don't, what's the point of doing it? What you gonna say to yourself? I'm the most decent rapper alive. I'm the most average rapper alive. I'm the most pretty good rapper alive. Nah, I'm the best rapper alive, period. Sometimes you have to plant things in people's mind. You have to speak things into fruition. We all saw this happen for Lil Wayne back in the day. Wayne stepped it up lyrically on the Dedication mixtapes and started saying he was the best rapper alive, and people started buying into it. I had no problem with that either. Whether I agreed or disagreed with his best rapper alive claims, doesn't matter. If you feel that way, say it. But you must be able to back it up with bars. Raps, okay? Lil Wayne said he was the best rapper alive, and he showed and proved that he was one of the best rappers alive by rapping his ass off.
Which brings me to young Kodak Black. See, Kodak seems to want to challenge Lil Wayne for the best rapper alive moniker. Now, if I claim to be the best rapper alive, and another rapper had that title, then I would think the best way to prove I'm the best rapper alive is by rapping. But nope, not Kodak Black. Let's hear what he had to say.
Tell Lil Wayne, fight me, or for the knock that stupid ass out. I bet everything on it. Since Soulja Boy and Chris Brown doing it, I don't even need no trainer. I don't need Floyd Mayweather, Adrian Broner. I'm finna beat Lil Wayne's stupid ass. Watch. And whoever wins, they're the best rapper I heard.
Now, Kodak, listen to me, young brother. I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, but I do know just because you possibly could beat Lil Wayne in a fight doesn't mean you can rap better than Lil Wayne. It just means you can fight better than Wayne. I don't see the correlation. See, in order to be the best rapper alive, you have to rap better than other rappers. Contrary to a lot of you new Negroes' popular belief, it doesn't matter who has the most guns. Doesn't matter who has the most money. Doesn't matter who has the most Instagram followers. Doesn't matter who can fight better. If you say you're the best rapper alive, you have to prove it with bars and music, my brother. I'm all for the youngins challenging the throne, but if you're going to challenge the throne of best rapper alive, rap, okay? Challenge it with rap, not by fighting. And by the way, if Lil Wayne didn't know you before, he probably knows you now, and it's for all the wrong reasons. Oh, Kodak Black, that's the guy who said he's the best rapper alive, but he'd rather fight me to prove it than actually rap. If a barber says he's the best barber alive, he has to cut hair. If a chef says he's the best chef alive, he has to cook. If a woman says she has the best poom poom alive, then she has to pop that wet wet for a goon and prove it. So if you say you're the best rapper alive, I hate to be redundant, but you have to rap. Best rapper alive, prove it with bars, not fist. Please give young Kodak Black some of those smooth sounds in the hammer tones, please.
You are the donkey of the day. You are the donkey of the day. Hee-haw.
All right.
I really shouldn't even have to tell anybody that, by the way.
No.
I really shouldn't, but common sense is not so common.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building. I'm going to F y'all name up, so I'm just going to tell y'all this immediately.
How can you F up Carmen Perez?
I got Tamika Mallory. Yes. I got Carmen Perez.
Linda Sarsour.
Yes.
Linda Sarsour. Don't act like you knew
what you were going to say. What you were going to say? What you were going to say? Sarsour?
Yeah. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Oh, we sound like the chorus.
That was
Now, the Women's March on Washington. What is it and what is it about?
Well, the Women's March on Washington was announced right after the election, the day after the election, by a woman in Hawaii, a grandmother, retired grandmother, who sent an invitation to 40 of her friends saying that she wanted to march. And 10,000 people responded to her invitation.
Wow.
By the time we received the call, because the event was basically announced by white women. And by the time they called us to ask women of color to get involved and to help really set the tone and agenda for this effort, it was up to about 100,000 people.
Wow.
At this point, we're at about 245,000 people who are interested in coming or registered at some place or some forum. And so the purpose of the march is really to ensure that this incoming administration, as well as our Senate, our Congress, and everyone else, knows that women's rights are human rights and they won't be rolled back. I mean, we're going to Washington to really deal with the racism, sexism, misogyny, and all the different issues, the isms that have oppressed people for a long time before Donald Trump even became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so many will gather, but it's not just women, it's families, the entire family, because you know the woman holds the entire family on our back.
Why are they trying to paint it as an anti-Trump demonstration?
Well, because people are not necessarily sophisticated in their political understanding. I mean, we particularly, you had us here when we marched from New York City to Washington, mm-hmm. D.C., so we've been protesting a long time. We would have been going to Washington, Trump, no Trump, Hillary Clinton, it didn't matter to mm-hmm. us. And so, you know, a lot of people just, and a lot of people should be concerned about Donald Trump. He is an issue.
Absolutely.
But there are other people and other elements that need to be addressed.
And there's also a saying in Kenyan Nonviolence, in the ideology of Dr. King, that says attack the forces of evil, not people doing evil. And so it's beyond Trump, right? It's the fact that in this country, in the fabric of this country, there's racism, there's sexism. Mm-hmm. And so we need to look beyond Trump, obviously address him, let him know that we're watching him, but also know that we have to deal with the system
systemic racism and all the stuff that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. And Trump is a narcissist, right? Mm-hmm. The brother wants us to say it's about him, and it ain't about him. And I think what we're trying to, the tone we're setting for people is that this ain't always about what we're against. We're always against racism. We're always against police brutality. We're always against segregation. But we're trying to tell people it's time to say what you're for. Which, what do you stand for?
What are the solutions?
What are your values? Yeah. Like, what do you stand for? What are the solutions? What kind of world do you envision versus we're always trying to survive, but it's time that we start talking about how we thrive in this country, mm-hmm. and that's what we're hoping the tone that we set is.
And it's right after Inauguration Day.
Yes, oh, the
right,
next absolutely. Day, the first next day.
First
and
day.
Also my birthday.
Okay. early morning. Are you I don't want to say afraid. Afraid is not the right word. Are you concerned that it's the day after the election? I'm sure it'll be a lot of Trump supporters.
Inauguration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Trump supporters still in D.C.
Yeah, no. I mean, we don't get tired. We don't get afraid. I mean, you know, our brother, my son, Lennon, marched with us from New York City to Washington, D.C., and on the road, you could, you know, there was all kinds of stuff KKK. Happening. People, KKK yelling at us, mm-hmm. blowing smoke back in our face in cars, calling us all types N-word. Of N-words and what have you. We're used to that. We deal with this all the time. Now, there's some people who are really concerned. Is there going to be security? Do we got bike racks? Do you got porta potties? You got a permit? All those things. And we are making sure that this event is properly secured.
That's interesting because we were talking behind the scenes about overt racism, and have you ever experienced that? And I know I said I have. Charlamagne, you said you've never really experienced
I haven't. I'm sure I've experienced covertly, but I've never had a white man call me a nigga in my face or anything to that nature.
Right, but I think we have to get to the point where hearing them say it about someone else means it's overt. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right? So we feel it. And that's what this is about. This is about the fact that we have to respect one another's justices. So for some people, it's reproductive justice, right? But for others, it's racial justice. And we're going to Washington, D.C. in solidarity with women. A lot of them have never marched anywhere before in their lives. And if you read our Facebook page, you'll see all these women talking about, I didn't even know that racism existed. I thought Lord. We had gotten past it. And they really believe this, but they are now beginning to see that there are some serious issues. And I'm excited that this particular convening is opening the eyes of folks who have never ever paid attention to these issues before.
And it's historical. It's the first time in any president's history for this type of mass mobilization to happen on their first day.
How do y'all respond though? Like you mentioned the KKK was blowing smoke and people were throwing things. How do you guys respond to that when y'all?
Mo Martin and Malcolm.
Mm. It's a combination of both.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of us don't do Martin.
We also have to dispel the myth.
Yeah.
My son is Huey.
Yeah, but seriously, we have to dispel the myth that Martin was soft, right?
That's right.
Because
that's
Martin
right.
was radical, and it's the reason why he was assassinated. Right. He was moving towards something.
The poor man march.
The poor people's campaign and all. Yep. But certainly the way in which we respond is that we show something different, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you see us here. We are three women of color representing the targets of Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. I'm Mexican-American. Linda Sarsour is Palestinian from Brooklyn. Obviously, you know, Tamika, she's African-American. And so, like, we go out and we see our liberation bound in one another. And so we're going to fight for that no matter what. And we're going to show people that they could do the same and create entry points. And so when we say that there are women here who have never been, who have never marched or have never participated in protests, there's an opportunity here, and that's what we're trying to do is give them direction. Right. So it's not really necessarily about January 21st. Yes, we want people there. We need them there. We need to show critical resistance through numbers. But we also want people to go back to their communities and to organize and to tap into communities and to actually do something. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to ignite a spark that will continue beyond January 21st.
We have more with Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, and Linda Saucer coming up next on The Breakfast Club. I'm falling. Peace of the planet. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee. I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God with the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. We have Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, and Linda Saucer in the building. There's a big women's march on Washington coming up this Saturday. Are you shocked that you're receiving some pushback? Like, I even saw a woman write an article. Mm-hmm. And she said, I can't pronounce her name. It's like She Could Doll Me or something. But she said that the march has already failed because it's a feel-good exercise in search of a cause. And it fizzles and fails at doing that. But every time I read about it, I understand what the cause is.
I mean, that the issue is, and we've had critics. I mean, that's what happens. If you don't have critics, you're not doing the right thing.
That's right.
And people got to be in the organizing to know
who the people are that are behind this. There are people here we've gotten arrested in civil disobedience. We understand intersectionality. I'm Muslim. To your point about discrimination, there are people in our country who get attacked on the streets of their own community mm-hmm. just for the virtue of who they are. Mm-hmm. We deport 1,000 immigrants every single day in this country. So people are, what kind of feel-good exercise? We're doing mass mobilization. We are people with full-time jobs who have dedicated every extra hour in our lives. Some of us got kids that we got to take care mm-hmm. of. And we're out here talking about protecting our communities. We standing out here saying and sending a strong message that nobody's going to ignore when you see the amount of people out there that we're watching you, but we're also going to defend our communities by any means necessary. So I don't understand where people come up with these things. And sometimes people want to ride our coattails, like you, Women's March on Washington. There's a lot of media out there. So if you want to get trending, you want to say something about the march, yeah. but you haven't even reached out to us.
Right.
Like
that's right.
You want to have a conversation about feel good exercise and you think that's what it is. Let's have a conversation. Our emails are public. Our phone numbers are public. We are public people. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. So it bothers me sometimes that people are creating these opinions without actually having the real conversations and the courageous conversations that we need to have.
I was going to ask, how do you fund your beliefs? Because, I mean, like you said, it costs money to do this.
Yeah.
So people who can't be at the march, how can they support the cause financially?
So I'm the head of fundraising. You got to put the Arab girl from Brooklyn head of fundraising. Look, this costs money. Freedom ain't free in this country. If you wanna fight for your rights in this country, you got to pay. And it's either you pay now or you're going to pay later, and it's mm-hmm. not going to be pretty. You go to thewomensmarch.com and you donate there. You have to understand, once again, we have full-time jobs here. We got families, and we are putting everything that we can to make sure people feel safe when they get there. Handicap accessible porta potties, a stage. If you 12 blocks down, you got to hear what's happening at the rally. There's no point of you coming all the way out mm-hmm. there. Jumbotrons, like mm-hmm. security, insurance, like this is a mass operation.
Right.
So
production,
we
yeah.
need money. We need to raise money, and we've been fortunate that people have supported us, and we've been working with organizations that have come through for us, including Planned Parenthood. NRDC, which is a climate justice organization. We've had individual donors, women of color donors.
SEIU,
yeah, labor has come through for us. So womensmarch.com, donate to us, believe in us and believe in our vision. And to know that we are centering the most marginalized communities and you are investing in the leadership of not just women, but women of color. Like the time is now for us to get our due credit for the work and the shoulders of the giants that we stand on. Like we're not the first people to do a march. Like we know that. We are carrying on a legacy, and we hope people see this because it is a historic. Like we know we're making history. Like that's why we're invested in this.
I mean, it's interesting. I feel like it'd have been powerful regardless of who won the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if it was Hillary, y'all still would have had to mobilize and say, "Look, we're not comfortable just because we got to win."
I wasn't on that team anyway, brother.
I don't think any of us were on that team. And you know what? We absolutely would have had to. Now, would these same women have been involved? Not sure. Mm-hmm. Probably would have been us out here. So sometimes God will take what is bad and make it good. And so when we look at Donald Trump, that is like, for some people, it's such a shock. For us, it's the reality that we live in and exist in all the time. But it's probably a good thing for some folks that this is actually waking them up and forcing them to come to the table because they're afraid. And everyone has a different entry point. Mm-hmm. We've been asking white women, where have you been? Where were you when Sandra Bland was killed? Where mm-hmm. were you for Trayvon Martin? Where were you? Mm-hmm. And the list goes on, Eric Garner, all the names. But we're glad that you're here now. Mm-hmm. And now you actually need to kind of be quiet and listen and learn. And they're not having the easiest time dealing with that. Mm-hmm. But there are some who are willing to be like real allies. They're at the table and they really, really want to be engaged. But it's not just them. For the purpose of this show, our own people need to get up off of our asses. Like, we also, because we have to be in the front of our issues if we want other people to be pushing us from behind.
Mm-hmm. How different are white women's rights versus women of color's rights?
Certainly that has been the topic of conversation.
White feminism, black feminism, and Chicano feminism.
And when you look at reproductive rights, you know, that's a big issue, which black women care about reproductive rights as well. But we're like, okay, I have a reproductive rights issue, and then I also can't get a job, and then my husband is mass incarcerated and all of that. So for them, they are dealing with many of the symptoms of sort of the cancer, the sickness that we're dealing with every day. So they got like the arm hurting. You know, they got a headache, mm-hmm. but we're dealing with like the whole body is dying. Mm-hmm. And so the intersectionality piece is important. And again, having everyone come together to respect one another's justice, what it is that we're fighting for is what this whole effort is about.
But also show up for one another.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of us
I know Linda and myself show up for Black Lives Matter, right. Also Palestinian rights, and my family's personally impacted by incarceration. So for me, that's what I've dedicated the last 20 years in. And so to actually be part of this march and reach out on my own, I'm responsible for partnerships. And so a lot of the people that
I'm
talking to...
Money coming in.
Seriously.
Turn that phone off.
That's right. I'm responsible for partnerships for this march, and so I'm speaking to people that I haven't necessarily built with. And so it's a learning opportunity. I'm talking, you know, how are we really being intentional about being intersectional? Because we can't cover every issue on stage, right? But we're not going to be able to... Go ahead.
No, but to your point about the issues, this is an education process. We're pushing a conversation that people don't want to have. So people say, oh, pay equity. We got to get paid the same as men,
pay
right?
Equality. Pay equity. Pay equity.
Yeah, but right. No, I say pay equity. But right.
pay equality. Right.
But what we say to them is that's true. Women don't get paid the same as men. But let's look at how much Black women and Hispanic women, right, which is even less than white women, even reproductive rights. Let's say they close down Planned Parenthood, right? A white woman can still find a way to pay and go get an abortion somewhere in a private clinic, but low-income women, immigrant women, if they don't got a Planned Parenthood type situation, they're not going to be able to get the access to the health care that they need. So we're pushing the conversation further.
And if they're also, you know, about to be deported, you ain't really thinking about all that other stuff. Again, like, when it compared to white women and women of color, there's so many layers to our struggle, right? And there was something so profound. I work for Harry Belafonte, so we stand on the shoulders of giants. And he said, you know, white women live in their privilege where women of color survive in their struggle. Mm-hmm. And that was deep for me, because oftentimes, you know, when I'm like in these spaces, whether it's like planning a march from New York City to D.C. or you're trying to build intergenerational relationships, I go back to him and I'm like, I need some guidance. And so he breaks it down for me where I didn't even think about it, because sometimes we could get caught up in our ego. Mm. But this march for me, we've prepared for this moment. Mm. All of us have 20 years of experience in movement building, criminal justice, police accountability.
My patience still being tested, sister. I know.
it's prepared us for this moment to actually lead in this space. And again, like the fact that we also have our elders that are supporting us in this space. Mr. Belafonte being a part of the original March on Washington, mm-hmm. cultivating the leadership of young women to actually lead in mm-hmm. this moment is huge. That is legacy. That mm-hmm. is the passing of the baton.
That's right.
And so we also have other honorary co-chairs like Gloria Steinem and Dolores Huerta just came on board mm-hmm. yesterday. But again, you know, this is a moment that we're trying to ensure that we give people direction.
We have more with Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, and Linda Saucer coming up next on The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
He better call Becky. Hey, what's happening? Top of the morning to everybody out there. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God here. We got Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, and Linda Saucer in the building. There's a big women's march on Washington coming up this Saturday. Now, Ye?
I remember going to the Million Man March and feeling like it was really powerful. Do you feel like men are supporting
march? Actually, we have the whole family coming out. I mean, I've been receiving emails every day where it's like my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my husband, my son, and the newborn baby are all going to the Women's March on Washington. That's so dope. The whole family is a part mm-hmm. of this. And, I mean, you know, we have men who are involved. Our attorneys are both men, just so mm-hmm. happy. Well, Ting Ting is a woman. My son is dealing with security. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of men who are involved in helping us. And we appreciate you all bringing us on this platform mm-hmm. because some of the information that's out there, as you said, is not the right information. It's not mm-hmm. correct. There's a lot of misinformation.
It's not anti-Trump.
It's mm-hmm. not anti-Trump. And we need to get a message across. Now, I'm anti-Trump. Me, personally.
Me too.
But the point of the march is
But to your point, you know, I've been doing this work for 20 years. I've been separated from my family since I was young. My family lives in Southern California. I went to UC Santa Cruz, left. I had a sister killed, buried on my birthday. So my birthday doing this march is huge. It's a distraction so I could actually celebrate. But I got a call from my older brother who's bringing his family.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never, and it's not a knock on my family, is, you know, they don't really know what you do. Criminal justice, you're going into prisons, you're going to El Salvador to support a peace process between gang members. Like, what do you do, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I got the call, I wasn't able to go home for Christmas or Thanksgiving because of this march. But he's like, I'm coming to you, mm-hmm. and I'm bringing my family. And that, to me, is the world. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact my older brother who, again, they don't understand what you do. I don't think any of our family members, they just know we're gone. We're always gone. We don't got time. But men are showing up, right. And they've been showing up. And so, like, when you see people like my son setting things up like this for us, it's the support and love that he has for us. But the fact that, you know, there was a lot of question, is this also an anti-man?
Yeah, we shutting that down. This is not like typical traditional like white feminism, like bra burning, like right. We hate mm-hmm. men. Like yeah, we have because, men in our lives, yeah, we got partners, we got sons, like we're not allowing this.
That's part of black feminism and Chicana feminism, is that we were struggling with our brothers,
yeah.
Right? Where in fact white women had access to white men. Their white husbands, their white fathers, their white children, their white sons, where we were like, yo, we trying to get the same boat with you. Like, we're still trying to gain things with you. We got to elevate you because we know you're going to pull us up, too. Right.
So. We have the men supporters, but I had 5 emails, and there was this one brother that wrote a Huffington Post piece talk about you got to change the name of the march from the Women's March on Washington to the People's March, you know, white man. And these other 4 guys, I looked them up on social media because I didn't want to stereotype, but of course they were all white guys, too. And that was like, no. I was like, you got to be okay with a woman-led march. Like, right. If you ain't okay with that, then you're just not invited. Like, I'm not changing the name of the march for you. Like, that's just not happening. That's it.
I never understand why people get upset when you embrace your struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, you embrace what you are. Yeah, like,
I'm not black. I show up to black, you know, to a Black Lives Matter protest, or I'm in a movement. I'm not like, please make that all lives matter so I can feel comfortable.
Right.
Like, if you ain't down with Black Lives, don't come to the table.
Do you support women? Then go to the women's march.
That's it. Like, what's the problem? Why everything got to be?
Because you know, at the end of the day, you know, we gonna deal with your issues anyway. Like, it's not like we just are going to Washington to talk about issues that relate to somebody who has a vagina. We also are dealing with like my 17-year-old black son.
Mm-hmm.
His issues when he leaves the house, I'm not sure.
You got a 17-year-old black son?
I do.
You
I
look
do.
17.
His name is Tariq. Yeah, I do.
She cute. Yeah, I got a 17-year-old son too.
I have a 17-year-old son, and I don't know if he's gonna get shot by Ray Ray or a police officer. Right. So I'm dealing with that as well. When I go to Washington, I want to know why there's not more resources going to anti-violence groups like Erica Ford, A.T. Mitchell, those who are working in the belly of the hood. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to know why police officers are not being held accountable for killing black men and young women. I need to understand both issues, and I can hold both those things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. There you go.
I just like the fact that, you know, it's a lot of togetherness. Like, it's, you know, it's y'all three, then you say it's a lot of white women involved. Because I always think of the scripture, Ephesians 6:12. I really feel like that's where we're at right now. Our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. I feel like we're in a
That's profound.
I feel like we're in a real dark place right now. So we all need to be together. Like, good need to be with good. The ride against evil.
We also have a co-chair, there's 4 of us that are co-chairs. One is the founder, Bob Land. She's a white woman. And so she's, you know, also working with us. We have a national organizing committee that's made up of all different ethnic backgrounds. And so, you know, I just got to give a shout out to my partner, Paola Mendoza.
Paola.
Yo, and I have my executive assistants in Singapore. So, like, you know, we have people that are just supporting from everywhere. Yeah.
Now, tell the people how they can get involved if they want to get involved.
Women'sMarch.com, Women's March on Washington on Facebook, Women's March on Twitter. You know, our emails are all our first names at Women'sMarch.com. Like, we made it easy. Like, you got no reason to not know how to be involved in this march. You know, our social media is every day it's updated. There's posts. We give reading lists. We giving you recommended readings. Like, we really have been super intentional about how we're organizing and how you can get involved. Again, Women'sMarch.com. If you got a bus coming, y'all better register that bus, because you ain't going to have parking when you get to Washington, D.C. if you don't tell us you got a bus. That's mad important. That's like the drama, brother. Okay. Like, I don't know how you're going to park all those buses. That's
straight
like
the buses.
The buses.
The buses and the porta potty.
Those are the drama.